I mentioned that there was that which appears to be optional. I don't know whether that's the right way to say it, but verse 9, the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host. I have delivered it into thine hand. Gideon could have gone right then. He could have gone into battle at that moment in time. But listen to what the Lord says. But if thou fear to go down, go with thy servant Purah, or with Purah thy servant, down to the host. And Gideon, you will hear what they will say. And afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That the Lord knows when our hands need to be strengthened. He knows what He's called us to do. He knows what will be required. And so He gives him this option. And he went down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay in the valley like grasshoppers. Young people, use your imagination. I've never been in this part of the world, but I can sit and read these few words and I can think, what a minuscule little speck Gideon must have felt like as he goes down, and as far as he can see, here are the Midianites, the Amalekites, here are their camels. What a vast army was there. But he allows him to hear the dream of one of these people, the Midianites. And it says, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. I don't know about you, but I think this man missed one part. He thought it was just Gideon. This is the sword of Gideon. That's not what Gideon says. Gideon says for them later that they will speak of the sword of the Lord. And then of Gideon.
That's the difference. You see the result in Gideon is he goes back and he worships. And the true definition of worship, you can read in Exodus 34:14, is to have you worship the Lord your God only and no other gods before us. True worship is having nothing before us except the Lord. When we go to the worship meeting, we call it the worship meeting because we leave ourselves outside that door and you come in just in your spirit. And that's why we can look through faith and see the Lord. So Gideon right there, he hears these words and it's the Lord speaking to him. So what does he do? He puts the Lord before him, forgets about everything else, and then he addresses his company as to how they're going to win this battle.
In the dream itself, we really see man's weakness and God's strength. It says, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and smote the tent. And Gideon in himself was nothing more than a piece of barley bread, really nothing that could be used in a battle at all. And through that, God was able to defeat the Midianites who, in verse 12, were lay along the valley like locusts for the multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand upon the seashore.
It takes you back, Ben, to what you had earlier in chapter 6, when Gideon recognized that he was the least among his brethren. That's where the smallness was first mentioned. And now the cake of barley again brings that out very definitely.
I think it's a wonderful place for Gideon to be in, to have God reveal the sayings of this man. Because Gideon had fear. I mean, God understood that. And God said, you go ahead down with your servant. And God allowed Gideon to recognize that these men knew that the battle was the Lord's. And I think that worshiping spirit was, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but when you recognize that God has done a work, even before he's done it, that you say, thank you, Lord. Gideon was weak, like that little barley loaf. He knew the Lord was going to deliver, but within himself, how can this happen? But to know that the enemy had already known that it was a defeated foe, Gideon could worship God.
Gideon here is also a type of Christ, would you not say, in this particular setting? Here is a man in absolute weakness, realizing that no strength is within himself. And as a result, the victory has to be purely of the Lord. But Gideon as a type of Christ would be set forth in the fact that Christ in weakness, he was crucified in weakness. The fact that he was here in humanity and taking on all of the conditions of humanity with all of its failure and weakness, he took that on himself. But he comes out in power as a result of his death. He comes out in power in resurrection. The barley would then speak to us of the side of resurrection. So he's crucified in weakness, but he comes out in power, in resurrection power.
So let me just highlight that again, because it is very important to take a hold of that. The last part of verse 8 said that the camp or the host of the Midianite was where?
Beneath him.
Beneath him. Hmm. Well, he has the upper hand. Hmm. He has the advantage. Hmm. He was on a higher ground. Hmm. That's why the barley loaf, which speaks of the resurrection of Christ, though little, you know, it was the idea of the resurrection of Christ is kind of despised by men. Hmm. They might have no problem with his birth. Well, might not have a problem with his death, but they have a problem with his resurrection. Hmm. That's something that they would take on. They celebrate his birth. They would make a big thing about it. But not his resurrection. They have a problem with that. But that is the source of victory. It is not only the death of Christ, but the resurrection of Christ, because that's God's approval of his person and of his work. So now, where is the victory going to come? See, Gideon is moving from a plateau to a plateau to a plateau. And God is unfolding to him that greatness thing. So Gideon is on a higher ground. Christ is risen from the dead. And his enemy is beneath him. They are under his footstool. And here is Gideon taking hold of that now. He said, you're afraid? You go down. The Midianites are under you. They shouldn't be above you. See, before they were hiding in the caves and hiding underground. Now, no. You are up. They are underground. And you're going to defeat them. What power is it? It's the power of his resurrection that's give us victory. Because in resurrection, he have defeated every enemy and rose from the dead. And he is going to come again and his enemy will be under his feet.
Don't we have again to the wonderful patience. The wonderful patience of a God who is going to use a man. And in using that man, he's going to first make the man realize that he is nothing. He is nothing. He has nothing. His resources in and of himself, he's zero. And I was just thinking of the things that we've seen. We remember the angel. We remember the offering. And the angel disappears out of sight. Then we had this morning the two times with the fleece. And now we've had the instance with Pura, his servant. Has anybody ever said to you, how many times do I have to tell you? Look, how many times do you hear the Lord saying that to Gideon? The Lord says to Gideon, Gideon, I want to be everything that you need to give you this assurance. And young people, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And if he has to tell us 8 times to make it clear, I believe that we have a God that's quite willing to do whatever is needed. Again, this last time, and I had turned to that verse 15, and it was so when Gideon, it would have been wonderful to have heard the dream. You can think that you're going into battle. And you think, what an advantage. I've heard the dream. And God says, it's not enough to hear the dream. I'm going to give you something more than the dream. I'm going to give you the dream. And I'm going to give you the interpretation that goes with it. And I want to point out, it doesn't say that Gideon returned to the camp and worshipped. It says he worshipped. Right there. Right on the outskirts of the camp of Midian, there's one that is worshiping the living God. And then in the strength of that moment, he returns and he can really be used to bring others into action.